Welcome to Digital Java Jive, a T360 podcast, enabling intelligent change in real estate. For more information, please visit t3marquee.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the next episode of Digital Java Jive, a tech and marketing buzz for real estate. I'm here with my amazing team on the heels of our T3 Tech Summit, where we all put a lot of energy in, and I think we're all caffeinating now. I've basically had an IV of caffeine since we left the conference. So, Andrew, what are you drinking in today to get you going?
I've got some Peruvian blend that's roasted locally that we get on a subscription, and you can't get anywhere else in the country. It's like exclusive to where I live. So,
wow, fancy!
Is it legal?
Oh, it's not talking about it.
I've got a let's say it's from a can, and it's Diet Mountain Dew, and I'm making sure that I'm getting extra caffeine today. So a little light on the Java, but boy, guys, we had an amazing tech summit. The energy was great. My favorite part of the tech summit was when I walked into the technology village and the immersive experiences, and I swear there was 300 people all having conversations in there. There was not a person standing around, and it was amazing. And that's part of our goal, was the networking, the collision effect at the summit. But we're going to talk a little bit about the summit now, and let's go into each of you have been prepped on your favorite content from the stage. Derek, why don't you lead us off with some of the things that jumped out to you that maybe grabbed the audience's attention?
Oh, thank you, Travis. So I think, you know, and I'm not just doing this for my career, but our CEO, Jack, had an amazing talk about the potential outcome of the Sitra Burnett lawsuit and his premise of act as if you're already dead came true in a matter of less than, 48 hours after the summit. So, I mean, I'm going to have to say that was my favorite. I mean, it was one of the many predictions that we nailed. I have to say, as a team, I don't want to congratulate myself, but you guys did an amazing job of catching some of these things. So I'd have to say that Jack Miller and his speech and getting everyone into the mindset of, you know, this is a change that's going to happen and you should just be ready for it now. That was it for me.
I thought that theme rippling through our pre and post meetings with our T3 Marquee group was so powerful, and everybody was engaged on the buyer broker representation, the buyer broker workflow, or the buyer workflows that we created. Just a huge amount of energy. And then, as a matter of fact, just yesterday, the second or subsequent lawsuit, Michael and I were literally on the phone with one of those seven brokers, and now, you know, their business is going to be upended for a little bit and figuring out how to navigate this. And so this is just a very hot topic, and I do think Jack nailed that pretty well.
I have a question. So if you're on the phone or you're on the Zoom meeting, did someone knock on the door and just serve them papers like while you were talking? I was curious to see.
No, it was interesting. Someone opened up the news, and then within minutes, I guess it was the subsequent lawsuit was filed, and they were named. And so I'm not even sure the dots got connected while we were on the call with their senior leadership, but it's crazy. It's crazy. Things are changing rapidly and fast. Prem, what was your favorite piece of the stage content at the Tech Summit?
Well, you didn't ask me, but I'm hydrating. This is pure H2O. You know, my favorite, the content was just amazing this year. It was so relevant and on topic. And obviously, one of the sort of the common threads throughout the conference was around buyer brokerage compensation for obvious reasons. The other major thread throughout the conference was on artificial intelligence. And we had multiple segments that, you know, either addressed AI directly or indirectly. But, you know, I think the one segment that just really kind of turned light bulbs on for me, and I'm not saying this because he's on this session, but our very own Derek here did on the last day of the conference, did a synopsis of AI and its, you know, current and potential impact on our industry and our and the you know, the day-to-day lives of real estate professionals, realtors, both positive and negative. And I think he did an amazing job because it was all bite-sized. It wasn't, you know, you have conversations about AI, they tend to be these really long, pithy sort of conversations. And I think, Derek, you did a great job just boiling it all down, synthesizing the information into bite-sized nuggets that that were actionable, that people could walk away with and really go discuss within their own companies and or their own brokerages. So great job.
And we already got people reaching out to bottle that up and use it. So Derek, thank you so much for that. Awesome job. I agree. And you stole my thunder a little bit there, Prem. So I'll save mine. I had a backup. So hopefully no one steals my backup. Michael, let's go to you. What was your favorite?
Yeah, mine would absolutely have to be the keynote speaker, Luke Williams. The manner in which he presented and the conversation that he had about getting outside the box and kind of challenging some of the constraints that we all assumed are in place in the industry and in our individual businesses and stuff like that, I think that was spot on and it turned out to be prophetic and some really good new ways of thinking. So I have to go down.
Okay. And I love that one too. My favorite piece is a lot of times you get a keynote speaker and they're kind of up here in the clouds, you know. I love how he spent time and energy and really started to tailor it into real estate, you know, and nobody professes to have all the real estate knowledge or even a fraction of what T3 has, but he did a really good job of taking what's the current trends in the industry and then applying them to brokerage, which I thought was awesome. So Andrew, let's go to you, my friend.
I'm going to switch it up and go with the pitch battles. I'm probably no different than anyone else in this industry, and I am attracted by the bright and shiny. And I just love hearing about from really smart people who are on the leading edge of technology. And some of these programs that are that were in the pitch battle, you know, they're going to be instrumental in helping brokerages through the change in business that's coming as a result of the lawsuits. You know, how are buyers being assisted, and how can brokerages demonstrate value and justify the commissions due to the buyer side? So I love the pitch battles. It was quick. You know, very rapid fire. It was, I love seeing Travis tackle some of the laggards that wouldn't stop.
Literally.
Trying to go over. Yeah, literally tackling. But no one was injured, as far as I know. But
no one was injured in the making of this pitch battle.
The pitch battles. And, you know, the Winner Scout that's a great program. It's an incredible system. That uses AI technology, and I'm looking forward to seeing them succeed.
I agree. Yeah, and you stole my second one. I loved the pitch battle, the energy, the audience. I felt like this year, the 16 companies all brought, they all brought their A game. I think they were prepared, and it was tough. The voting was tight between several of the head-to-head or the bracket style first round. And then as we got into the final round, I thought it was really interesting. I was able to hear the judges deliberating before the final round behind the scenes and where their head was at. And then the final outcome surprised me. And so that the answers that Scout had that they were ready to roll and really helped the brokerage and the franchise and the brand propagate their communication more in a personal way. That really stood out to me. And I think that swayed the judges at the very end to push them over the next runner up. So that was awesome. I'm going to go a little different direction then. And because of the buyer broker the Sitzer Burnett case and what's about to happen in our industry, I really liked James Dwiggins at Next Home and how he was very practical about what needs to happen in our industry. And he gave some really good advice on how to talk to the buyers, how to talk to your sellers. And it was I think very timely and he did a good job articulating that as well. So that was my highlight. the stage content. Let's go rapid fire to the experience rooms. And I get to start this time since you all stole my ideas of the stage content. I'm going to go with CoreLogic year two, back at the Tech Summit, altering their pitch and data and presentation. But man, their data is just so valuable and so loved in the industry. And I remember seeing a picture where they're holding holding court inside of their experience room, and the room is packed with people, and they're all just, you can tell, intently listening. So that was my favorite. How about you, Andrew? We'll go backwards.
Well, I just got to say, you know, that whole experience room area of the conference floor, talk about swank at a very high level. You know, kudos to the crew who put that together. But for sure, my favorite room was, you know, we brought together three companies and work them through the process of collaborating and ingesting data from each other's systems in a way that brokerages are screaming for interoperability. So, you know, to have T3 Benchmetrics, to have ListTrack, and to have Delta Media Group all in one experience room and showing how websites and listings and are being benchmarked, and to show the number of views and all the great work that they're doing, and just the collaboration between, you know, three great companies in our industry. I'm really looking forward to seeing how that all comes together. And, you know, with T3 Benchmetrics, the T3 Fusion website rankings coming up. So, and that's, you know, two of the three technologies in that room will be used to help to prove the performance of a website for those rankings, purpose of those rankings. So for sure, that was my favorite room.
Nice. Michael, how about you?
Yeah, you guys picked two good ones. I think I'm going to go with kind of close. And the reason I picked close was that I think they're doing a really good job of operationalizing AI and how brokerages can actually use it. And even more than that, they're directly dealing with the issue that we all hear about every single day, which is adoption, right? Using AI and some of their automations to, on behalf of the agent, do some marketing automation that's going to become incredibly important. So I thought the way they kind of had the four different screens set up showing different stages of the cycle and how the automations work together was a pretty cool way to kind of demonstrate and solve how they're solving specific business problems.
I do also like how educational it was in their experience. And I love how modular and flexible they are from a partner perspective. So if you want to use bits and pieces of their AI or big data, like that's possible. And I'm not sure everybody realized that. So I love that story that they're telling.
Yeah. And they had really good use cases, right? You know, they had done some work with clients to kind of show how people had actually taken it and we're using it in real time. It wasn't kind of vaporware. It wasn't something that one of these were thinking about doing. It was like live and out in the world. And they had some great examples of how it was being used.
Awesome. Prem, let's go to you.
You know, this is tough. And I hate to say, I had two favorite areas, but for two very distinctive reasons. First is Lone Wolf. You know, Lone Wolf did a big reveal of their new platform, their new end-to-end experience for the real estate industry. And I think the team from Lone Wolf that were participating, starting with Jimmy Kelly and his key lieutenants, they were pretty excited about that, and rightfully so. You know, taking multiple tech stacks and stitching it together or redeveloping it into a cohesive user experience is really, really hard. And I know a little bit something about that. That is really hard. And so I think that they've done an amazing, amazing job sort of pulling that experience together for real estate professionals. The other area is, and we had an area called the watch list, which were, I think, 17 or 20 up and coming companies that had a shared space, you know, kind of at the center of this experiential you know, environment that we put together. And what got me really excited about these up-and-comer companies that participated there is that they were competing for attention for you know, from the people that were walking through versus the experience rooms. They were, as you know, as so noted, they were rooms that they, you know, a user went in, or a person went in, and they were kind of surrounded by a particular experience, whereas the watch list was competing for attention. And the energy and excitement that happened from that watch list area was so, so exciting. And so I've got to do a shout out to all the companies that participated in the watch list area as well. That was equally fun.
Nice. Eric, take us home. What was your favorite?
Oh, get my clicking right. All right. So I think my favorite part, so I have two. The Modern Ventures room for me was outstanding. I love the way that they told that story of how, you know, one investor can, you know, this private money telling the story about building these companies and putting them in one place and all the benefits that can come from that. And then watching their separate products shine in that environment for me was really fun to watch. And then, of course, the AI room I thought was amazing, which is funny because the entire thing turned out to be a gigantic AI room with like a thread. Everybody in that entire thing had AI in their product, but we did have this one room that highlighted just the specific use of AI in their product. And that for me was exciting to see these companies were just implementing it at a really high level and showing off some things that haven't been done yet in our industry. And that's with so many crummy rollouts of that right now, this is pretty cool for me.
Nice. Very good. Well, let's wrap with the news. Not the big news. I mean, that the huge news is the Sitzer Burnett case, but the other news that hit the radio waves and airwaves today was rumors have been swirling. We've heard this for a while, but now it's official that Zillow has purchased Follow-Up Boss, one of the hottest, best-in-class products in the team space for mostly lead generation, lead nurture. That's kind of their forte. And so the news dropped today, and man, do we look timely again. I'll go to Prem first because we talked about this over the weekend. How do you leverage this information, this change that's about to happen now as a brokerage, as a team? What should you be doing to prevent this in the future, the disruption that might happen to your business, and potential opportunities as it surrounds this area? We won't give out all the secrets today, but let's just comment quickly on the big news. I even had a huge brokerage looking at moving to that, and they pumped their brakes because they don't want to be in that whirlwind and that swirl of absorption and activity and mess that sometimes comes with an acquisition. Prem, take us through, you know, some of your thoughts on that.
Yeah, on this particular transaction, and it wasn't a complete surprise. I think, as you mentioned, there have been rumors out there for a while. And if you think about it, you know, for 2 seconds, you put your Zillow hat on, it makes a ton of sense. If you're trying to, you know, you've garnered this very, very large consumer audience, and you're trying to provide, you know, kind of a different, more seamless, less friction, you know, transaction on behalf of the consumer, you know, stitching together a set of tools used by the industry so that there's data sharing and things like that. It strategically, it makes sense to me why they would go after something like a Follow-Up Boss and ultimately Follow-Up Boss. But, you know, this is not the first time that, you know, a very popular piece of software and application gets acquired by someone. And, you know, brokers, rightfully so, are anxious to see what happens next, because we've seen other examples, unfortunately, of companies that get acquired where things suffer, you know, customer support, technical support, you know, things of that nature. And, you know, time will only tell what happens in this Zillow, you know, experience. But, you know, I think there are a lot of tips that we can offer up to brokerage on as you're negotiating new third-party vendor contracts, things, language that you can introduce to provide yourself a level of protection. And we'll be bringing those up, as you alluded to, Travis, in subsequent sessions. But there are things that, you know, that the community, our community, can do to provide levels of protection for themselves. So, because, you know, if things go sideways, you know, on an application that a broker has worked so hard to deploy within their organization, you know, really working hard to increase adoption amongst their agents, and things go sideways, you know, that's not the acquirer's problem of a software company. That's the broker's problem now. And so we want to address how the broker can protect him or herself in the event that a company that they're doing business with gets acquired and things don't go as intended.
Yeah, a perfect segue into the future episode of Digital Java Jive. Team, I'm so proud of you and everything that you did, and also the forethought that we put into our marquee groups and some of our private broker meetings. So kind of a cheers and shout out to the team. Love you guys. And
cheers.
Thank you for chiming in.
This has been Digital Java Jive, a podcast by the technology team at T360, empowering intelligent change in real estate brokerage technology.